Next up, 817.
Amend the Open and Accountable Elections Program to clarify cap on in-kind donations and reporting requirements.
Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you, Mayor. As we continue to work through the implementation of this program, we found some areas within the law that could be improved. And as you know, I'm going to be continuing to bring you those tweaks as they come up so that we continue moving full speed ahead as candidates are already using the program. The two small amendments to the code before you today are intended to clarify reporting requirements for all candidates seeking election for City Council, not just those participating in the program. And it also removes a loophole for in-kind donations, which we came to our attention and also everybody involved agrees needs to be closed. The Open and Accountable Elections Commission has reviewed these changes and approved moving them forward. Susan Mote, Program Director of the Open and Accountable Elections, is here to walk through the changes.
Thank you, Commissioner. For the record, my name is Susan Mate. I'm the Director of Open and Accountable Elections. I bring before you two amendments for your consideration found in Exhibits A and B. The first amendment is to Section 2.16040D. It strikes the language that would allow unlimited in-kind contributions of paid supervision of volunteers. That way, donors can still in-kind paid supervision of volunteers, like paying someone to help supervise a canvas or some phone banking, or to do voter engagement and education, that it would be subject to the $20,000 cap for in-kind contributions that each campaign is subject to per election. The second change is to 2.16.140A. It just clarifies that the non-participating candidates that need to report their in political committees that need to report their contributions and expenditures to the Open and Accountable Elections Program, which we're allowing them to do through ORSTAR so they don't need to do duplicative work, doesn't apply to the candidates that are spending less than $750 on their campaigns and therefore aren't required to report to ORSTAR. We're not suddenly making them report to us. So we just didn't want to kind of create a burden on for campaign reporting that doesn't currently exist. As the commissioner said, all of these amendments were discussed with both the coalition and the Open and Accountable Elections Commission unanimously recommended making both of these changes.
Can I ask you a question? And I support both. What was the logic with the first change that you're making? You're suggesting. What was the logic behind exempting paid time for a supervisor of volunteers from the $20,000 cap?
The thought was that that's one paid in kind that can really support democratic ideals of providing more time engaging voters and educating voters. So that was why it was left unlimited. But after the code passed and as we were getting into implementation, people realized, wow, you can really just in-kind a whole staff member to a campaign. And that might really be allowing in, you know, kind of large contributions within the program that were not contemplated and felt like a big loophole.
Makes sense. Thank you very much.
Very good. I just want to say, number one, I support today's amendments. They make a lot of sense, and I appreciate the work that Commissioner Fritz and you've gone through to bring today's amendments forward. And I support the values of the program, but I want to continue to express my ongoing serious concerns about the viability of this program overall. Just before we sat down to council today, we got the latest QA, Quality Assurance Report, from the Technology Oversight Committee, and it shows that all of the program is either in the yellow or the red. And the overall rating for quality assurance for the entirety of the program is red. We already have candidates lining up declaring that they're going to use this program in this cycle. What can you say to give us confidence that this program where quality assurance is basically saying it's not ready to go? What can you do to give us confidence that it is ready to go?
Sure. Well, so we had hoped to get the entire technology product delivered on September 1. We have since amended that schedule so that there are two pieces that we know we will not get one until October 1, one until November 1. Those pieces are not so important for the city to be able to administer the program. One of them is the ability to see public data visualizations about how campaign finance dollars are being raised. That will be ready October 1. The second piece is the ability of campaigns to bulk export their contribution and expenditure information they put into our software and then bulk import it to ORSTAR so that they're not doing duplicative work reporting to us and then having to type all that information into ORSTAR separately. So those two pieces, while nice to have, don't need to be ready in time for the program to the city to implement the program. We have received already modules 1 and 2 of the technology, and as soon as we receive module 4, which should be soon because it's well, the coding is a lot of a mirror image of module 2, so it's very quick to do, we'll be able to do plan B implementation, which is mostly automated, but a little bit of manual implementation on the city matching donor record names and addresses to the voter registration list manually rather than automatically. So, you know, that's module 3, and that is due to be delivered to us on September 15th. So that's 2 weeks late, but it's not worrisome in any way in terms of creating a burden on the city. So once that's delivered, we'll be in plan A, fully automated implementation of the program.
Okay,
I think we're actually in good shape.
And I've not had the chance to fully digest the report. As I say, it came to me literally minutes before I came to the city council meeting, but I have to express my ongoing concern.
Yeah, and I'm happy to brief anyone who has questions.
Commissioner Hardesty.
Thank you. I think it would be great if you would come around and brief us all, just because we want to make sure that when this program rolls out, as the mayor said, there are candidates that are actually already publicly declared they're planning to use this system. And so I'm certainly looking forward to an update. I have not seen what the mayor has seen so far today. Mm-hmm. And it would be good for us to get the oversight committee back here, and hopefully sometime in the next few weeks, so that they can tell us what their concerns are as well, because I do think we have an obligation to roll it out well.
Yeah.
And I look forward to the update. Thank you.
Madam Director, as of today, how many candidates are you aware of who have indicated a desire to access this program?
5 have filed notice of intent so far, and there have been a couple of candidates who have said publicly that they intend to use the program but have not yet filed for their notice of intent.
Is there a scenario where you anticipate coming back to us in the fall bump for additional resources to administer the program?
There's already money put into the contingency fund in the for $950,000, which the program was underfunded in the FY17-18 budget. So I anticipate asking for that, not to administer the program, but to ensure we have enough matching dollars to continue matching at a 6-to-1 rate throughout the entire election cycle.
If you don't get that $900,000, will there be, in effect, forced rationing?
So what happens is, if once I determine that we need more money than we have in the budget to do the full 6-to-1 match, I ask the council to please provide me with the additional funds, and then only if they say no, I then lower the match rate. So it is possible that I would lower the match rate. Being only August, it's a little bit too early for me to say.
Because you don't know who's
right,
going to actually call.
But once we get a little further into September, I think I can start to say we might need, you know, whether we need that 950 or whether we could potentially go over needing more than the 950.
Okay, thank you.
Very good. Thank you for the presentation. Thank you for answering the questions. Any public testimony on this item, Carla?
Yes, we have one person, Maggie.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you. I believe in public money being spent to help people running for local offices because I would like to see more people of lower income running for these commissioners' seats. So
Mayor,
I hope
this is
there's
not
some
what's before us today. There's two amendments that are before us. We've already
excuse
adopted the
me?
System. I'm speaking to the mayor.
I know, but I'm talking. It's my time.
But you're not speaking to the amendment to the matter before
us. Yeah, I'm speaking.
Okay, Maggie,
to
just
the,
get to the point, please. Thank you.
I'm saying that I'm for public money being spent on candidates who can't afford to run.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Appreciate
Thank
it. You. This is an emergency item. Please call the roll.
Hardesty.
Aye.
Udaly.
Aye.
Fritz.
Thank you again, colleagues, for your support for the program and for your interest. And I'm really pleased with the variety of folks in the community who are considering running because of it. Thank you. The Open and Accountable Elections Commission continues to be an amazing group of dedicated individuals who are seeking to empower all Portlanders. Thank you, Susan Mote, director of the program, who's made great progress and continues to do so. And Anna Paisio, the former deputy director, who is now working for the mayor of New York. And we are recruiting for that position right now. Thank you, Christina Nieves, one of my senior policy advisors, and Tim Crail, my chief of staff. And thank you to all the community members who've showed up at the council meetings to provide input. This is truly a big step forward in democracy, and we're going to do everything we can to make it successful. Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Wheeler.
I'd like to thank the commission as well. I'd like to thank the director and Commissioner Fritz. I'd like to thank you and your team. I know I'm being very hard on everybody when I keep raising the quality assurance reports, but I believe it's my duty to do that, my responsibility to do that, and I'm very hopeful that everybody working together can get through those issues that have been raised. And I appreciate the amendments that were brought forward today. I think they're entirely appropriate, and they solve some of the problems that have been identified previously. And I thank you for your attention to that. I vote aye. The ordinance is adopted. Next.